intervention. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, sir, for the honor, sir, and the leadership. I'm grateful. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to be sharing with us what the Lord laid on my heart when I was told that I'll be ministering at Power Convention. So SG, but no, it's not service on Sunday. You know, hallelujah. This is Power Convention. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for another time in your word. Thank you for this awesome, awesome gathering. Thank you for the supplies of your spirit. Thank you, Lord, for encounters with you since the beginning of this meeting. This evening, as your word goes forth, thank you because your word runs swiftly in our midst, accomplishing your purpose, prospering in every situation that you are sending them into, in the name of Jesus. As these words go forth, hearts are indeed strengthened, instructed, and encouraged. Wrong mindsets are corrected. Erroneous beliefs are straightened. Gaps in knowledge are filled. Barriers in the mind are removed. And a highway is created for the manifestation of God's grace, glory, and power in every man's direction. Let the questions in our hearts, let them find answers in these words as they come. And as your spirit confirms them with signs, wonders, miracles, and various distributions of the spirit, I yield myself to you. Think through my mind and speak through my mouth. Let my tongue be as a pen of a ready writer, and let it inscribe your counsel indelibly on the tablet of your people's hearts. Thank you, Father, for you are glorified in this place and in our hearts in the name of Jesus. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, we have prayed and given thanks. Amen. I'll be speaking about prayer tonight, as the Lord has laid it on my heart. And the theme of the convention is life in the spirit. And we've been hearing that since yesterday evening and this morning. And I will just more or less continue from where Pastor MY stopped in the morning. And the emphasis is the place and the role of the presence of the Spirit of God in our lives. And how the presence of the Spirit of God helps us and makes all the difference. And it becomes that factor that raises the bar in terms of our own expectation and also the kind of results that we get in life. So tonight I will be speaking on how the presence of the Spirit of God in our lives helps us in the place of prayer. How that by depending on the Spirit of God, our prayers become effectual. So I'm speaking on yielding to the Spirit of God in prayer. Yielding to the Spirit of God in prayer. One of the greatest privileges we have in the New Testament is the ability to pray, particularly to pray in the Spirit. Because with praying in the Spirit or via praying in the Spirit, we are able to go beyond the limitations that just praying in understanding imposes upon us. There are times that you want to pray or you know you have to pray about something, and you just find yourself looking for words or finding it hard to give expression to what you feel in your on your inside. And you know you should pray about it, and you don't know what to pray. God knew that we will come to that point and that time. And in the scriptures, we'll read the scriptures in a moment. In the scriptures, provision is made for us to be able to navigate such seasons and periods in our lives. Prayer is powerful. Prayer is like a multifaceted system of God through which we receive from Him, through which we ask and make requests, through which we superimpose the realm of the Spirit on the realm of the natural, and then we are able to change the configuration of things within our environment. Prayer is powerful. Prayer is you cooperating with God's Spirit to be able to change the narratives of our lives. Hallelujah. Prayer is one of the privileges that God has given unto us. In Zechariah's, the Bible says, I believe in chapter 9, it says, return to your stronghold, you prisoners of hope. Prayer is one of the strongholds of a believer. What is your stronghold? Your stronghold is like a place of refuge. You know, it's like when you find yourself in a situation and you are feeling seemingly helpless and you are running out of energy, running out of breath. You are getting to the point where you are becoming almost hopeless and you need to be able to run back to a place where you can be refired, where you can be revived, where you can feel safe. Prayer is such a haven for a believer. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14 and 15 says, and this is the confidence that we have in him. This is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. It is confidence. Is that word confidence I want you to take note of? This is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So for believers, prayer is supposed to be your confidence. Hallelujah. Many years ago, not too long ago, maybe close to 20 years ago, I was reading one of Kenneth Hagin of Blessed Memories books, and he said in that book, as at that time, when that book was written, he said, in the last 40 years, there is no prayer that I have prayed that has not been answered. Then I began to question it. How many of us here have prayed prayers that you didn't get answered? Okay. So when Kenneth Hagin said, in the last 40 years, I have not prayed any prayer that was not answered, then I realized that there must be something about prayer that he understands. So which means that until he understood that thing, he had had or he was having unanswered prayers. But when he understood it, he started having answers in prayer, which means that his prayer became more and more effective. Hallelujah. And one of the secrets I discovered is understanding how the Spirit of God helps you in the place of prayer. Because when you do, your prayer will become more effective, more impactful, and more result-oriented. And you will see that when you get answers in prayer, it encourages you to pray. That's when you can also see, like John said in that 1 John 5:14, that this is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Prayer can become effective, such that it can become your own stronghold or your own refuge. That if anything, you will run back to it and you know that you will come back with a result. In the book of Daniel chapter 6, we'll read scripture, I'm coming. In the book of Daniel chapter 6, when the verdict was given that no one should bow or pray to any god except to the statue that was made in honor of the king, Daniel went back to his house. He opened his door towards Jerusalem, and as his custom was, he prayed 3 times that day. Because for him, that was a life. He was not faking it. Now, where Setman was quoting earlier, in Daniel chapter 2, I believe, when the verdict was given that because they couldn't give the interpretation, all of them should be killed. Daniel said, why is this decision from the king hasty? Grant me an audience with the king. When he got in the presence of the king, he told the king, give us time. Why will you say give us time? It's because he was sure. As at that time, Daniel did not have the meaning, no. He did not know the dream. Neither did he have the interpretation. He just told the king, give us time. You know why? Because he knows that if he goes back to the place of prayer and he beseeches God and he seeks God's mercies, God will come true. This is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Prayer is supposed to be that confidence that you have. The place of prayer should be your place of refuge. Hallelujah. For a Christian, because answers come in the place of prayer. Things change in the place of prayer. Things can be turned around in the place of prayer. Hallelujah. And one of the things that helps us to get results in the place of prayer is by learning to yield to the Spirit of God in prayer. Allowing the Spirit of God to help you in the place of prayer, you will get results. You will get results. Amen. So when I read that book and I saw what Kenneth Hagin said, so that particular period, that year, we had started the Lagos Church. It was just a fellowship. Then Setman used to come to Ibadan every Thursday. He would preach just one Thursday in a month and go back. So one of those Thursdays, he came and he preached. And as he ministered, he left. Then the Spirit of God said to me, very clearly, study how to pray and get answers in prayer. Study how to be more effective in the place of prayer. So it was like I took it on like a personal search or pursuit. I'm still studying it though. But out of the things I've studied is what I want to share with us. Hallelujah. And I believe it will bless us. James chapter 5. James chapter 5. I will read verse 16 in the New King James, then I will read it in the Amplified Classic, preferably. James chapter 5. Verse 16 to 18. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man. A righteous man. Please note that. A righteous man. The prayer, the effective, fervent prayer of one righteous man avails much. So in case you are wondering, now, who is that righteous man? What are the qualities of such a righteous man? Then he gave us an example. He says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Hallelujah. Let's read it in the Amplified. Confess to one another, therefore, your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins, and pray also for one another, that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. The B part says, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. Elijah was a human being with a nature such as we have, with feelings, affections, and a constitution like ours, and he prayed earnestly for it not to rain, and no rain fell on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. And then he prayed again, and the heavens supplied rain, and the land produced its crops as usual. So we can see from this scripture that the prayer of one righteous man can make such tremendous power available that can change things. In fact, if you read further down to the very end, it was talking about if you see any man straying and you turn that one back. One person that turns somebody that is straying back, he has saved a multitude of souls from hell. It is still prayer, which means through prayer, you can change the course of someone's life that is unstable, someone that is straying, and bring that person to such stability in their course in life that they will be out of error. True prayer. There is so much power in prayer and true prayer that I think we are still barely scratching the surface of it. Because the more we pray, the deeper we go, the deeper we realize it is. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6. Let's read Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. Paul writing, he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying always with all prayer, telling us that there are different kinds of prayer. That's why he says all prayer and supplication. So there are different kinds of prayer. But all these kinds of prayers can be prayed in the Spirit. What does it mean? Can be prayed under the influence of the Spirit. Can be prayed by the inspiration of the Spirit. Can be prayed as led by the Spirit. Hallelujah. Praying always. Because there's a kind of prayer where you are just fellowshipping with God. You're just fellowshipping with God. Acts chapter 13, the Bible says that there were apostles and teachers at that time. They were all gathered and they were all just ministering to God. That's what they were doing. They were just ministering to God, just worshiping, just extolling Him. They were not making any requests. They were just blessing His name. So that's more like a prayer where you are just fellowshipping with God. But it was in the midst of that, God says, that God now spoke and said, separate unto me Paul and Barnabas to the work unto which I've called them. So there's a kind of prayer where you are interceding for someone. That's what we call the prayer of intercession. So you are standing before God on behalf of somebody else and pleading their case before God. And you get results, you get answer. There's a prayer where you are really making a request, supplication, where you are making it, we are saying, God, I need this according to your will. And you are making a request. So there are different kinds of prayer. There's a prayer of consecration where Jesus was praying, Lord, my will, but according to your will, God. It's the kind of prayer where you are surrendering your will. You are dying to flesh. Where you know what to do, but the flesh is standing in the way. And you want your soul to arise. And you be able to put what your own human nature is projecting to you. Subject it to what the Spirit wants. It is at that place where you are praying the prayer of consecration. It's a place of surrender. Amen. There's a prayer of consecration. There's a prayer of faith. Hallelujah. And this is an example of the prayer of faith. Where Paul said, the prayer of faith will heal the sick. Then he gave us an example. Hallelujah. So there are all kinds of prayers. But he says, praying always with all prayers and supplications in the Spirit. As led by the Spirit, under the inspiration of the Spirit, under the influence of the Spirit. All these prayers can be prayed as you yield to the Spirit. So I want to mention four things very quickly. Very quickly. As you yield to the Spirit of God in the place of prayer. Because prayer is both a science and an art. I've said this a couple of times. You know, it's like when you learn how to drive. It's both a science and an art. There is the science of driving. If you go to the driving school, they will teach you the science of driving. If you want to start the car, this is what you do. If it was manual, put the gear in neutral, put the key, check your mirrors. They tell you the science. But the heart of driving, it is until you start driving. Am I right? There are some things that even Dave, they want to teach you, they can't teach you. But they will tell you that when you start driving, you'll figure it out. That's the heart of it. So there is a science of prayer. Even in life, there is a science. Because science is based on facts. And science tells you this plus this must produce this. That's science. It's scientific. That's where they can come up with theories. That's where it must meet those standards. But the heart of it, it's flexible. And that is the place of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Hallelujah. Now, you see, the science of our life as Christians is that we are disciplined. That's what a disciple is. So we have a life of prayer. We pray. We pray regularly. We pray habitually. We have times when we pray. We study the word. We study the word habitually. We study the word systematically. We have when we study the word. But the heart of it is that the Holy Spirit can interrupt some of these things. He can interrupt it. He can interrupt it. So the first thing I want to mention, when you are yielded to the Spirit of God in the place of prayer, is that the Holy Spirit will help you, number one, with your prayer point. It helps you, you know, that's what we call it, prayer point, Adi, or prayer outline. You know, some people cannot pray without prayer point. They can't do. They will ask for it. Where is the prayer point? In other words, what are we praying about that will give us direction? It's good. It helps us to, it gives us focus. We are able to channel the energy in prayer in a particular direction. So I'm saying those points that you need, the Spirit of God can give you the points to pray about so that you can get a lot more results in the place of prayer. Hallelujah. You know, I think, was it when Satma was here during the anniversary? Satma was somewhere recently now. I think it was anniversary. And he was quoting some scriptures. And he mentioned, he said, these are scriptures that I declare them virtually every day. Yeah, Psalm 112, Romans 8, 11, Joshua 1, 9, and 10. Am I right? He says, I declare them every day. You know why? You see, when you have words like that, specific words like that, your faith has been given direction in those areas. And you will cover a lot of ground than just praying generally. Because concerning your home, you have words that you are praying and declaring. Concerning your finance, you have words that you are praying and declaring. Concerning your health, you have words that you are praying and declaring. Jeremiah 15, 16. Jeremiah said, your words were found, and I hate them. Listen, you know, and I hate them. So your words were found. So we are reading the scriptures on a regular basis, daily basis. So we have a pool of scriptures on our inside, because we read it regularly, we hit it. Huh? We hit it. Look at this. Your words, plural, were found, and I heard them. And your word, singular, was to me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. So out of those pool of scripture, one word stood up. One word was fired into your soul that just stood out of all the words that you have gathered, that now became the joy and the rejoicing of your heart. It got to the point that it affected your emotion. You know, we can be talking, okay, protection. God will protect us. You can take Psalm 91, Psalm 121. But suddenly you just saw that Job differently. God, you are the hedge around him, around his household, around all that he has on every side. You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. That's the word. Out of the words that you have eaten, that now became the joy and the rejoicing of your heart. See, those words now, that is the Spirit of God giving you the word to now pray. Do you understand what I'm saying?
See, it is in the place of yielding to the Spirit of God that God gives you words like that that will now make you start gaining motion and covering mileage in different aspects of your life as you begin to pray and declare it. Let me tell you, anything that is moving is powered. Anything that is in motion, there is a power behind it. Anything that is making progress, it is powered. Any life that you see that is making progress, there's a power source behind it. So it is either the power of God that is at the base of our lives, making movement, progress, or the other power. That's what we heard in the morning. The Holy Spirit is the enabler. He enables you. He powers your life. So when he gives you specific words and you begin to pray those specific words, it means that those are the words that the angels of the Lord will run with in your life to give form to the words that are spoken. The angels respond to different things. There are different things, a number of things, 4 or 5 things that activate the ministry of angels in a person's life. One of such things are the words that are spoken, words that are prayed. So when the Spirit of God gives you specific words like that, that you begin to pray, the angels run with those words and they construct them. They give them flesh because the angels are the ministering spirits to attend to those that have been given, that are the heirs of salvation, according to Hebrews 1:14. So when the Lord gives you words like that and you begin to pray those words, you will see that there will be speed in those areas of your life. You see, Romans chapter 8 verse 26 starts by telling us that, okay, we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered in articulate speech. And he that knows the mind of the Spirit knows, helps us to pray according, or makes intercession for us according to the will of God. He who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for us according to the will of God. Then he now says, for we know that all things work together. Those scriptures are not separate. You see, when you have to pray and you don't know what to pray about, then the Spirit will help you in the place of prayer. So in the course of helping you, he will give you the words to pray. Because there are times that you just pray all through in the Spirit and then you feel a release. But there are times that while praying, he will now start giving you the words. You now start using those words now in the place of prayer. Because before, you started by not knowing what to pray. Now, you now pray in Spirit to the point that the Spirit now gives you what to now pray. When you now know that thing to pray and you begin to pray it, then all things will now begin to work together for your good. Hallelujah. So that's the first point I want you to note. The Spirit of God will help you with your prayer points. Secondly, the Spirit of God... Now, you see, all these things I'm talking about is as you yield to the Spirit of God. So, these are not the rules. These are more like the exceptions, the heart of praying. So, you must have the things you pray about. There's God's word there. There are many things to pray about. You know, it's like when somebody's ministering and then it looks like God is not moving in the direction of manifestation of the gift of the Spirit. You don't force it. You preach, you pray, everybody is blessed. God's Spirit is, as far as God is concerned, the work is done. You don't have to force it. So it's the same way. You have things you pray about in the morning. There are many things you can pray about without having to wait for the Spirit of God. You can pray about your life, pray about your future, pray about your children. You can do all of that. But when the Spirit of God is interpreting something else to you, don't miss it. So this second point also is that the Spirit of God can influence the time of your prayer. This is 2-in-1. It can influence both the time and the duration of your prayer. You know, if you are the type that you pray at night, the Spirit of God can lay upon your heart that pray now. And that now was in the morning, which was not your usual prayer time. It is better to obey and not even realize why you obeyed or what you obeyed for than not obey and then later say, no wonder God was stirring my heart to pray. but it was not my prayer time. I thought that it was so. No, don't put God in a box. That's being legalistic. When you are walking with the Spirit, because like we heard yesterday, life in the Spirit is a life. You are not trying to force the spiritual. The spiritual is your natural. The spiritual is your natural. Prayer time. That time, the Spirit of God can stir your heart. Pray now. Because either you or somebody else's life can be dependent on that prayer. Hallelujah. You know, one year, I think that was 2012 or 2013. I applied for my professional master's then in school, in UI. And I got to the office that morning. You know, I came with the previous day's newspaper. I just picked it from my parents because I stopped by there the day before. So I wanted to now just quickly go through that newspaper before settling down for the day. As I opened that newspaper, I heard in my spirit, clearly, pray now concerning your admission. They are making decision on it. I closed it too, and then I began to pray in other tongues until I had a release in my heart. You know, long after, I saw Pastor Funke because she was the one helping me with it. And she just told me, your form just got to the department now. And they were saying that, no, they cannot admit. It looks like, she said, I have a brother that is coming. He must enter. Now, can you imagine what was going on this side? And God was stirring my heart on this side. I could have said, no, I've prayed in the morning before I left the house now. What is praying now? I could pray it later. There are some prayers that cannot be deferred. If we defy it, it's expensive. There are times that the Spirit of the Lord will place a burden upon your heart. And there are certain burdens that require immediate attention. There are certain burdens that they are long-term burdens. You can have a burden for your child's future, for instance. You have that burden. You pray it. You pray it through. It lifts. You may not come again until another 2-3 months. You pray again. Each time you are scaling each odu, you are establishing specific things in that child's life. Because those are long-term burdens. But there are immediate burdens that this one, you must pray it now. Those ones, the Spirit of God will place it upon your heart. And it will disrupt your time of prayer. Yes, it will disrupt it. It will. One day somebody came to see me in the office. He had applied for a job and he had gone for the interview, but he had not heard from them. He was becoming very anxious. Very, very anxious. Then he came to me and he said, in fact, I went to find out. I went to go and ask somebody that, what's going on? I'm not hearing from them. I said, why did you go? I said, if you have entrusted it to God, just allow God. He said, because if you go, the way you have gone now, and they told you what you do not want to, if they tell you what you do not want to hear, it will affect your faith. So just trust God. Now, because there's nothing wrong with asking somebody to follow up for you. Nothing wrong with it. But that was how I felt to respond to it at that particular point in time in that situation. So he left. As I was driving home, I had a burden in my heart that, pray concerning this issue tonight for him. I didn't even tell him. I never told him till date, unless he's online. That's when the person will hear. So I spent the night praying about it. The next moment, he came around. He just said, he wanted to come and do some work in the office. He wanted to use internet, this and that. So he was working, do some things. While he was in the office, they called him from that organization to come and that he needs to come now. So he went there and he went to collect the letter. As he brought the letter, he put it on my table. I said, okay. So we lifted up our hands and we were thanking God. As we were thanking God, the Spirit of the Lord told me, he did not come first in that interview. When he resumes, he will know what happened. Tell him. So I told him. He said, God says you didn't come first too. But when you resume, you will know what happened. When he resumed, there were three of them that did it. The first person had a PhD. He was one that actually came first. He was one that came second. So when they were making the decision, they said, this guy has PhD. He's busy. He won't have time for us. That's why they say we are not picking him. Then we are going to pick the second person. He was the second person. So, now sometimes I ask, when the Spirit of God laid it on my heart to pray, what if I didn't pray? So that time that you had that burden, if you don't respond to it, sometimes you may not even know what was missed. Because you can go on and your life will just go on normally. But something else could have been added onto it. You could have helped that person. Sometimes the burden is not even for you, it's for somebody else. Hallelujah. So there are times that the Spirit of God interrupts that time of prayer and says, pray now. You may even have the outline of the things you want to pray about, and the Spirit will tell you, don't pray about this yet. Pray about this one later. Isn't this disrupting it? In Luke chapter 6, verse 12, the Bible says concerning Jesus, he went on the mountain to go and pray, and he prayed all night. And that this brings me to time, duration in the place of prayer. Duration. Don't be religious when it comes to prayer, but yield to the Spirit of God. See, there are times that what you are praying about requires that you stay in the place of prayer until you hit what is described as the note of victory. What is that note of victory? So when you started praying, you had a burden. You felt as though you were pushing against a wall or an opposition. Then you keep praying. You keep praying. You now pray to the point where it will be as though you want to pray, but prayer is no longer coming. What is coming? It's just song. Song is just coming. Song is just coming. And you know that there's victory. And you know that the burden has been lifted. You feel lighter. There is joy bubbling up. That is that note of victory. You pray to that point. When you get to that point, so it is not a function of when will I get to that point? Is it after 30 minutes of prayer or 15? Or is it 1 hour or two? There are times that some note of victory is just 5 minutes, 10, 15, 30 minutes, 1 hour, 2 days. There are some things that you are praying on for years. Prayer duration. James chapter 5 that we read, it says the effectual fervent prayer or the earnest heartfelt continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. In Greek, it is energy, which is energy. As you are praying, you are releasing energy. You are releasing energy. No, it's like when you try to fell a tree, and then you throw the first punch, you throw the first axe, and then at the 10th one, the thing now came down. Was it the 10th one that brought it down, or an accumulation of the first 9 plus the 10th? Sometimes that is how it is in the place of prayer. You remember that story in 2 Kings chapter 13? Where that man came to Elisha, and Elisha asked him, open the east window, shoot the arrow. He shot the arrow, he placed his hand upon him. He now told him, take that spear and strike the ground. He struck it 3 times. The man became angry with him. He said he should have struck it 5 or 6 times. He says, that way you would have been able to defeat the Philistines permanently. So there are certain energies that are required in the place of prayer to put a permanent stop to certain things. So sometimes you pray for a while, you didn't get to that note of victory, so you experience a temporary relief, but the thing still surges again. Why? Because enough energy was not released to put it to rest. And the Spirit of God will let you know how long you need to pray. You see, when you are praying sometimes, you pray and then you are tired. And then you think that when I am tired, that's when I should end the prayer. Please, when you are tired, rest. When you wake up, continue. Because note of victory is not the same thing as when you are tired. Hallelujah. It's not the same. We have prayer meetings on Tuesdays, an online, just an intercessory prayer meeting. We just pray for the church, pray for members in church, pray for the church, and pray for the nation.
Just intercessory, purely intercessory. And it's online. We used to do it physically, but after COVID, then we just continued online. Then one of those times, we had the prayer. It's one of our ministers that coordinated it. As she finished the prayer, I had a burden in my heart. Then I kept on praying in the house. I kept on praying. I prayed for another 30, 45 minutes before I had a release. Then suddenly, one of the people that work in church that stays around just called me, just sent me a message and said, "Sir, there was a gunshot incident around the neighborhood. And someone was just even killed just beside his house." Now, apparently, he could have been going home at that time. Because that was the only connection. That was the only way I could interpret what happened. Now, you see, when you are praying like that, there are times that the Spirit of God, by the ministry of angels, will cause him to be delayed. That you will not go at that time. You will not go at that time. Because you will be on time for every miracle, but you will be late for every tragedy. And that's the ministry of angels. Those are the things that the angelic does. Because there are some things that happen that the only explanation is that this is the angelic. Hallelujah. So prayer duration. Elijah was praying in 1 Kings chapter 18 from verse 41 to 44. He kept asking the man, go and check. As he went, first time, second time, at the seventh time, then the man said, "I see a cloud like the palm of a man's hand." Seven times. And the Jews believe that the standard prayer time for an average Jew is 1 hour. That's what Jesus said. "Couldn't you watch with me for an hour?" They believe that. It's debatable, but they believe that it's 1 hour. So those seven times, it's believed that it is 7 hours. It's believed that it is 7 hours. I kept praying. Go and check. Now, to go and check what? That is why when you are praying, there are times that you will know that this thing has been, that a shift has happened. Even you don't know what you are looking for, but when you see it, you know. You know that situation. When they ask you, "What do you want?" Say, "I don't know. But when I see it, I will know." So he kept going. Then at the seventh time, he said, "That's it. Tell Abu, gather yourself. Otherwise, this rain will overtake you." He pushed it to that point. Till that cloud appeared. There are times that you need to keep praying like that. And the Spirit of God will keep energizing you to pray. You see, Jesus was praying. And I will switch to I'm talking about the third one now, which is the mode of prayer, the prayer mode. So I started with prayer point, prayer time and duration. Now, prayer mode. In Luke chapter 22, Jesus was praying from verse 39 to about verse 44. He was praying. Then the Bible says, an angel appeared, strengthening him. Then he prayed the more earnestly, with groaning, with more agony. It's a mode. There are times that you are praying, and all you are doing is, lay kadabaha sete. You just sat on your chair. Man, you did not know. You did not plan it. You are just sitting on your chair. Man redosa hata liafate. Man dadabosha lang redosa. It's as if something is boiling. Something is boiling. Suddenly, there will be a reaction. You jump up. And then you started pacing. Then the pitch started going higher. You didn't plan it. Do you understand? It's a mode of prayer. There are times that the Spirit of God is energizing you that way. Yield. In 1 Samuel chapter 10, the Bible says, Samuel said to Saul from verse 6 and 7, it says, when that time comes, do as the occasion demands. Why? Because God is with you. That's the life in the Spirit. When you are just responsive, you had that inkling, call this person. It's as the occasion demanded, because God is with you. God is thinking through your mind, speaking through your mouth, doing through your deeds. You are responsive to the Spirit. And it happens like that too. Do as that occasion demands, because God is with you. And it happened like that. It's a mode in prayer. So there are times that you are praying and it feels as though you want to shout, you want to scream. That's why you must believe God to be very wealthy so that you can build a house that has soundproof. And so that they will not be writing to the local government.
that you are disturbing us. Because there are times that you actually need to pray and you need to scream. Because that's what that occasion is demanding. Do you understand? You are not planning it. That's what I'm saying. You are not planning it. Because that occasion demanded that. There are times that you are putting your hand on your belly as if you want to give back to something. You are not trying to mimic anybody. It's that mood. And you are just doing as the occasion is demanding. Jesus got to Lazarus' tomb. The Bible says he raised his voice and said, "Lazarus, come forth." He was given a command. He was speaking to the spirit of Lazarus to first enter back into the body. And then life should come. And then he should rise up. And he should walk. He walked out the way he was covered. Tied. Then after he walked out like that, he said, "Lose him." So you mean the way he came out, he was still covered with that cloth. Tied. I said, "Lose him." But first asked him to come forth. Then he said, "Lose him." So there are times you are praying. And the prayer is requiring that you jump. You are responding. There was a man that was in a meeting. He was in a meeting, supercharged with God's power. And then he heard a voice, because he had one leg shorter than the other. He heard a voice that said to him, "Shoot out the other leg." As he responded, he grew out. If he didn't respond to that voice, he may not go back home with that miracle. So you must respond as that occasion demands. There are times that you feel like laughing. Laugh. Somebody called me one time and said, Pastor, it was very strange to that person at that moment. He said, she basically was spending time in prayer and all of that, worshiping God. He says, "I don't know. I'm just laughing. I'm just crying." I said, "It's the spirit of God. Yield to it. Let him flow. It's a river. He wants to flow. Let it flow out of you." You know that song, "Out of my belly shall flow rivers, rivers of living waters. Out of my belly shall flow rivers, rivers of living waters. I saw you taking a leap. I saw you taking a leap. Multiple offers are coming. Abasito freketiada, la grisete pala grahasa tavadianda labosa, ranta labosa takapara kata paliba hasataya, rikete paliba gada balagande debosa hate, la frekete palimbra hasatoya, rasata palige debagada dosa, rosote navrasetova graza hata labra haseteke diasatiliada. Lebadobo shita na hansa hato frikete. Lebedia salavraka tuba se gadado sataya grahita bahase to frikete. Emalatanda hatayaba. Some of you need to yield now. You need to yield. Marote nagraso fretena mahangre tusa. Marite keita liako rubo sataya. Lebagande. There's a long standing condition. There's someone here, your palm, the sole of your feet, it itches. It itches. It itches. If you are the one I'm talking to, just put your feet on the ground. Put your feet on the ground. If you are the one I'm talking about, la patosa hete, just get it off from your shoes and put it on the ground. But that ends tonight. Tonight, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Oh, hey, ala la bodo shatata yege de balaba de basata yababa. Ifande de gede bada gede dua sata le de gede bolo brogla da bataya. Ima reba dobo siata ya bale geda bo shata de de geda de de bo sata. E pala bro dobo sita ke de ba de ke de de ba dia gada bro sopoto bro ke te ba dia sata. Ifre te ke de ba dia sata. It's a mode. It's a mode. So there are times it requires you are just groaning. You are just weeping. Do as the occasion demands. Do as the occasion demands. Oh, satete prehete. Let me finish up. The last one. I know the spirit of prayer will rest upon us. And some of us, you'll spend the night praying. Because it's not going to be you. It's the spirit of prayer and grace and supplication. The spirit of grace and supplication. You know, if you don't understand that the spirit of grace and supplication helps people, you will look at every other person as being lazy in prayer, not knowing that you are helped. You will think, how can't you get up and pray? There is spirit of grace and supplication, sir. There's grace to pray. It makes praying easy. Yes, there is the discipline of prayer. You start with that. Then God, the spirit of God comes and it takes over. That's when you pray for hours and it looks like minutes because you were helped. Hallelujah. Let me close. And this is the last one. So there is prayer point. There's prayer time and duration. There's prayer mode. And that talks about the intensity in prayer, the motions of the spirit, the manner of prayer. The manner. You know, there was a man that Kenneth Hagin of Blessed Memory told in his book, who was working at a rig. And he says the wife had a burden. She just woke up and had a burden. And she believes that this thing probably had to do with somebody close to them. And she kept on praying. At the middle of the night, she kept on praying. So her prayer, her groaning, woke up the husband, who is the pastor. The husband woke up and joined the wife in the prayer and just praying and praying. And then he went back to bed. You know, it was not the one that had the button. And that's why some of you are angry. That this person is not joining me in this prayer. But you are the one the Lord placed the burden on. Hallelujah. You are the one the Lord placed the burden on. You must not give up. I'll come back to that story. Somebody had called me before. I said, Pastor Vijay, I don't understand. He said, I just have a burden. I said, what do I do? I said, that's very good. Oh, it's a good sign. When you have a body, pray until you pray it through. She said, okay. After about a week or two, I called to check. I said, so how far with the body? He said, it has reduced, but it is still there. I said, keep praying until it lifts. He said, but my husband is not joining me in this prayer. I said, don't worry. You keep praying it. And she prayed it through. When the result was going to come, the benefit was for the two of them. So there are times that God places the burden on you and then you are thinking that then somebody should join the burden. Continue. So the husband joined the wife and then after a while the husband went back to bed. Amen. This was from about 12 midnight. When he woke up again around 2, the wife was still praying. She kept on praying. Then the husband said, now this is where wisdom comes. The husband said, okay, let's make a switch in this thing. Let us pray that wherever this burden is meant for, God will give this person a sign, a supernatural sign that something on danger is looming that will make the person escape it. They now prayed. After they prayed that prayer, God visit this person. Let this person know that something is going to go wrong so that this person will not be a victim of whatever it is that is coming. And they prayed and then they went to bed. That was around 4 a.m. This man, when he now got to where he works, that rig and all of that, and then they said, oh, okay, so now, Mr. So-and-so, climb this place and go and do this thing. The man said, no. He said, why? He said, because this morning around 4 a.m., I had a dream. In that dream, I saw that I got to work. You told me to climb up and go and do this thing. And as I was doing it, this chain cut off. This blade came straight to me, removed my head, and my head landed here. Another fellow worker, who is also a Christian, he says, I don't believe in that superstition. He says, I will go and do that. It's just superstition. I don't believe in it. He went to go and climb. He went to go and do the work. As he was doing it, the chain cut off. The blade came to him, removed his head, and he landed where that man saw it. see, when you respond to that mold in prayer, because that it means that that is the way the Spirit of God wants to go. Has it happened to you before? You woke up. This happens to me like 99.9 times out of 100. And I'm not exaggerating. Each morning I wake up with a song in my spirit. You know what I'm talking about? You know my interpretation of it? This is the song that the Spirit wants me to use as the key to enter the presence today. That's what I start with though. Sometimes I don't even know this, so I will go online to go and look for it. I said, God, this is, it means that this is what you want to use today. It happens to me virtually every day. Because it's a mood. And you, that's what I thought you said, it's an heart. It is when you start praying that you come to start having this kind of experiences. The man, he removed it though. I remember when I was in university and we were having a farm year. I was praying in the morning like that. As I was praying, I just saw myself that we got to the farm. Then I was fetching water from the well into my watering can to go and water the bed. As I was fetching the water, I tripped into the well. In prayer that morning. So when I got to the farm, where is a group. Everybody said, oh, BJ, you are the one that will fetch water for us today. I said, ah, no problem. We do a group. As I stood on the well like this, I remember what I saw in the dream. I said, no, I'm not fetching water. I'm not. I said, ah, what is? I'm not fetching water. I'm not fetching water. God has showed me. So when you say, hey, no weapon fashioned against me shall prosper, this and that. You see, the protection is God showing you so that you won't go ahead. Your faith cannot be stronger than God's faithfulness. It is not faith in your own faith. It is faith in God's mercies. It is faith in God's faithfulness. So when God himself is telling you, this is the way for you to escape this danger, don't start saying you want to use faith against God. That's what is called spiritual pride. It's spiritual pride. If God wants you to stand up against something that somebody sees towards you, it's a different thing. But when God himself has revealed to you. So I said, I'm not fetching water. I'm not fetching any water. That's why I'm sitting here today. Amen. Hallelujah. And lastly, actions and inspired actions. As you yield to the Spirit of God in the place of prayer, the Spirit of God will tell you actions to take that brings about manifestation. It will inspire you. It will inspire you. Kenneth Copeland said, when they were behind in their bill, he called one of his sons, who just suddenly became the executive director. He says, let's go and just wait on God for the next 3 days. We pray and seek God for wisdom to know how to sort this thing. No, not even his son. It was Jerry Savile. As they went to pray, Jerry Savile was happy. I'll be part of Kenneth Copeland's prayer time. I will see how he does it. He says, just keep praying. He was searching the scriptures, praying in the spirit, searching the scriptures. At the end of the third day, he just came out. He says, write this check. Send it to this ministry. As they sent out the checks, the resources came. They cleared all the bill. He said, what is this one? The next month, the bill came again. He said, okay, so what are you going to do about yourself? We will sell this. He said, after you have sold this month, what will you sell next month? Because the bill, they are recurring the bills. God kept on showing them what to do for manifestation. In the place of prayer, the Spirit of God will show you what to do. Sometimes in answer to that thing that you want, the Spirit of God will tell you, for your own answer, start praying for this person that is in this particular need. Don't talk about your own again. Start praying about this person. And you will see, it was like God restored Job's losses. Job 42:10, after he prayed for his friends. Job didn't pray about his own. He prayed for his friend. Then God restored his own. So there are times the Spirit of God will inspire you that this is what to do in order to get this result. So I may not be able to tell you what to do in any situation, but I can tell you confidently that if you go to God, God will tell you what to do. And whatever he tells you to do, John chapter 2 verse 5, do it. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. We heard in the morning, and Pastor Henry told us, said, God told him, be studying this thing every night. That's inspired action. And God has a way of preparing you for what he has prepared for you. Because when you are preparing when the event happens, you are preparing late. So one of the prayers you pray is that, Lord, teach me that which I do not know. Show me that which I do not see. Prepare me for that which you have prepared for me. Let's stand to our feet. Kabiesire. I want you to just talk to God, minister to him, just a few minutes, just minister to him. Oh, the Lord God is my song. The Lord is my shield. He is my glory and the lifter up of my head. Hosanna daya baba kabi sire. Kabi kabi sire. If you're sick in any part of your body, please place your hand on it if you can. If you cannot, put your hand on your chest. I see an UTI, a urinary tract infection. Put your hand on your tummy. God will heal you. You may be on medication, but don't stop the medication. God will heal you. Beyond the medication, God will heal you. There will be no complications. 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 There's someone you are just afraid. You don't know why. You are just scared. You are just scared. You are just scared. Just lift your hand up and put it down. Lift your hand up and put it down. You are just afraid. You are just scared. Thank you, Jesus. Malavata tu salifre hetelia kalabrahase todia. Marakata, okay, I see you. Maliga da zuza vete diasa labata tuza debedu shataya. Riga deba dia sate freket ekaliada. Whether I mention your condition or not, just release your faith as we pray. Thank you, Father. Ama hato sele vete kita handa liba hate. You have gone and they told you to come back. It's like a disappointment. That's what I saw. I saw you. You went and then they told you to come back. And you are going back. And as you are going back, the Lord is maintaining your lot. In the name of Jesus. The Lord is maintaining your lot. As you are going back. As you are going back, the Lord is maintaining your lot. Father, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke every sickness, every disease, every form of infirmity in anybody, from the crown of the head to the soles of your feet. I command you to lose your grip on them. And I speak life, wholeness, healing, perfect soundness into your systems in the name of Jesus. Yesterday, a certain man said someone will start thinking clearly. I see it again. Your mind is sound. Is sound. Is sound. Is sound. Is sound in the name of Jesus. There's someone with a problem with one of your tooth, one of your teeth. Is the ones up, down. Is it down? The down area. There is healing. There is healing. There is healing. God is going to the very root of it. And that issue is addressed permanently in the name of Jesus. You are trusting God for one thing or the other. And your faith has risen tonight. I can perceive it. Just reach out to him. Just reach out to him. Whatever that thing is, reach out to him and trust, believe that God is granting you your request. Just reach out to him. Express it to him. Tell him you trust him. Tell him you believe him. Tell him you believe him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.